I wish I could move this table. You want me to kind of put it to the side a little bit? I gotta rearrange things because...
Interactive, huh?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I like to tell stories and... Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm a visual aid person. So I'm gonna move this over here. Can y'all see? Good. All right. All right, I think the stage is now set. Move this back just a little bit more. Okay, see if I can get this thing working. All right. Oh, is this the laser on the top? Oh, yeah, the temple. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the temple. And it may not be what you think it is. Let's go to the next. All right. Did I go the right way? Wrong way? Hey, I don't ever do this. This is like they asked me every 5 years to do this. And so I'm not that good at it yet. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. So I do these reminders whenever we write documents and stuff and people see blank pages, they always think, oh man, he really screwed up. So that's why I put that there. And it's also a reminder. See, I didn't really screw up. I meant to put there and leave it intentionally blank. I had a professor that once told me that how you write documents and how you speak to people is you do in this specific order. You tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. And that's what he taught me. So he taught me to do that way. So today I decided not to do that. The reason I decided to do that because I don't want y'all running off. Because if you already know what I'm about to say, you may just walk right out the door. Yeah, John Sermon, he was teaching in over there, and then when I walked in, I missed some of it. I got in there, and he was talking about how Jesus had said some stuff to the people, and they were furious, you know, and they wanted to throw him off the cliff, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm not sure this is the best sign. Yeah, I had a friend in high school. Actually, I had a friend in middle school. It was before I even got to high school, and he lived in Mesquite. He would tell me. I would tell him, I'm not really afraid of talking to people, but I really was. But I pretend that I'm not afraid to get in front of people and talk. And he said, Yeah, I remember. I remember in middle school. He goes, you are so nervous. You got up there. And we were supposed to do this speech and to the classmates. I didn't know anybody in there. Everybody here I know, so it's like everybody's family. It's not that big of a deal. So I get up there, and he says, yeah, and you just kind of limped and went limp. I fainted in front of me, and I have no way to dispute it. I'm like, what are you talking about? I never did that. You're making up this story, but there's no, how do you dispute that? You know, because if I really did truly faint, I probably don't remember anything that happened that day. And they let me go back. He said, I didn't even have to do anything. All I had to do is get up there and do that, and the teacher let me sit down. All I had to do. So anyway, last time I was here, I guess it was about 5 years ago, and they had me talking. And how I teach things, I kind of just tell stories, life experiences, because I think God puts things in people's lives, and if you look back, you can kind of find the message in what happened to you in your life. And God's taught me a few things. So today I'm just going to tell you a little story about something that happened to me about 6 years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago, somewhere around there. So let me go ahead. Oh, yeah, it's a treadmill story. So that's my reminder. It's a treadmill story. All right, and this is why I need the chair. It may be a little graphic, so watch it. All right. So I was working over at L3 for a little bit, and I had been, kind of, started to not work out very much, started to not like do much activity. And one day I decided, hey, I gained, when I graduated college, I was like 150, 150 pounds. And so I got up to like 170 plus, which is not that much to you guys, but for somebody with a small frame like me and somebody who started to be more sedentary, didn't do much at all, you know, I was getting unhealthy. And so I decided, okay, well, I need to fix this. And so I went to work out and to the gym. And I hadn't done it in a while. And so I get on the treadmill. So I'm going, man, I'm running. I'm like, man, just back, like the old days when I was 20. I mean, I'm just running. I'm running hard. Well, I start sweating, you know. And so, oh, this is getting a little harder than it used to be. And I'm running. Finally, you know, I have my headphones on. I was like, oh, man, I'm good. And I get off there, and I'm just sweating. I'm like, oh, I've burned so many calories. I walk over to the water fountain, and I get a drink. You know, I drink it, and I get up. And then everything starts to spin. And then I'm like, ooh, I don't think I've ever felt this before. This can't be a good sign. This is not right. Something's wrong with me. And then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to walk this off. Well, I was wrong about that. I started walking, and it got worse. And I was like, well, hey, you know, this is not looking good. So I better find the first person I see that I know. Hey, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. And it's like, hey, you gotta come here. So they go get me a chair, and I'm barely walking. I'm wobbling. I'm like, oh, I'm fading. I mean, I'm about to die. I'm thinking I'm dying. So I sit down. On my chair, and I'm thinking, okay, it's gonna get better. Oh, it doesn't get better. And I'm like, man, I'm messed up. And so all these things start running in my mind, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm about to die. Nobody's here. So I grab a pen, and it's a true story. So here I'm at the table. I'm close. There's a table close by. So here's a pen, and so I grab this pen, and I have hardly any energy. And I grab the pen, and there's a magazine, and I start writing my phone number. My wife's phone number. This is how you need to contact my wife, okay? No. Or the husband just died, you know. And so then, about this time, so there's a fireman that's on campus. It's like, I don't know what you call them. I can't remember. But they're like the people you call in emergency that put out fires and all this stuff. So he walks in. He happens to walk in. He works out there. And then he sees me. And then I'm like, you know, he comes over here. He says, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? You know, I kind of got a crowd now. I want to be embarrassed. I'm really not embarrassed at the time. I mean, I'm just thinking I'm about to die. And so he goes and gets his stuff, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if anybody's involuntarily puked, but this is what happened to me. Okay, so I'm like, oh, you better get that trash can. I mean, I had no control at all. So they bring the trash can, and it just comes right out. You know, and that's the graphic part. Hope I didn't make y'all sick. So I just vomit, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Oh, is this number right? Okay, that's right. Oh, and so he takes my blood pressure, and my blood pressure is 70 over 40. So it drops really, really low. I think I should have been dead. And it was a bad feeling. And it made me think. So I recover. I didn't die. I'm here. I recovered. They sent me. So he came. He took my blood pressure, and they sent me off. And they I went and rested, and I drank some water, and I recovered. But it got me thinking: how did I get here? What happened? What happened to me? You know. And so I look back at all those things, and one of the things is stressful eating. You know, I was in. You know, when you work and you get stressed in work and stuff, and it causes you to do crazy stuff. So stressful eating was one of the things that I kind of attributed to what happened to me. Yeah, I just stopped taking care of my body. I wasn't exercising, wasn't doing anything. And then I started being unwise with the food. I would go to, everybody been to Terry's? You know, Terry's has like all of these fried tater tots, man, and they're really good, but they're not all that great, really, for you. And I was eating them a lot, so during lunch, I started eating like that, and I was pretty bad. So I was being smart, and I was studying everything in life, but I really didn't look into what I was actually putting into my body. And then this is something I hear a lot from people, and I don't know, maybe you guys might hear it too, is for some reason it was so easy just to say everything is bad for you, so what's the point anyway? Why should I even be concerned with what I'm doing to my body? That's not good. Oh, man, I didn't set this up right. All right, so I thought about it some more. So what can I do to kind of be better. You know, I didn't want to ever feel that again. When you have I call it a near-death experience because it really did feel like I was about to die. You change the way you live. You change. You know, that's what it is. I mean, this isn't the first time for me. I'll tell you that here in a minute, but I think I've told that story last time. But I wanted to live, you know. I should change my habits because, man, I want to live. What kind of influence am I going to be to my family, to my kids if I'm no longer around? You know, so that's a big influence to changing your habits when something like that happens to you. And for the people around you, you guys are my family, am I right? So I remember this because I think back before this had happened, there was another situation where God was teaching me about money and financial stuff. You know, when I had my when I first got laid off, you know, I think I lost focus on what was important in life. And so this is not the first time that something like this has happened to me. So what does God really say about our bodies? You know, that's one of the things we really need to figure out. What does he say about our bodies? Do we as Christians have a responsibility to take care of our physical bodies? I need to get used to looking at this. This is good. Instead of back there. See, that's not taking, I'm being clumsy, right? Yeah, so do we really have a responsibility? So God, what do you say? So 1 Timothy says, exercise daily in God, no spiritual flabbiness, please. Oh, and then I'm using the message for Sharon. I know Sharon loves the message. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both total today and forever. So I'm like, all right, maybe I don't have to worry about it. You know, what's really important is my spiritual well-being, right? And maybe we do use this a little bit. So is an excuse maybe. I don't know. So good, right? We're good. And we just worry about our spiritual part, you know? This body's just temporary, right?
Okay, that's
right. Yeah. Are you sure, God? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. See what it says. And this is kind of talking to, you know, they're talking to the Corinthians church. There's some sexual impurity stuff going on there. So you can kind of ignore what it all says, or you can kind of read exactly what it says here. So this is what it says. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, right? But that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the master honors you with a body, honor him with your body. So maybe not so black and white. God honored the master's body by raising it from the grave. He'll treat yours with the same resurrection power. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a warehouse, would you? I should hope not. The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in and through your body. I think that God really calls us to take care of ourselves. I think we kind of overlook that maybe because of First Timothy. Just my personal experience tells me that that I needed to do something. I wasn't being the best example to people around me, and so that's why I changed. So the statistics, and this is a tough subject to talk about because I know money and this kind of stuff is kind of tough. But I thought I'd do it anyway since they only asked me to talk it for 5 years. So here's some statistics that I found on the internet that are very interesting that I find a little disturbing. A 2006 Purdue study found that the fundamental Christians by are by far the heaviest of all religious groups, led by the Baptists with a 30% obesity rate, compared with Jews at 1%, Buddhists and Hindus at 0.7%. In 2011, there was another study tracking 3,433 men and women for 18 years found that young adults who attend church or a Bible study once a week are 50% more likely to be obese. Okay? And then here's another one. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Hardly Paul Tuckett? Heart Health Program found that people who attend church were more likely than non-church members to be 20% overweight and have higher cholesterol and blood pressure numbers. All pretty sad information. What kind of example are we being, okay, to those that are non-Christians? What do they say? What do they say about this? So what kind of message do these statistics tell those non-Christians? And I found a couple of things on the internet that people had said. First one was, why did it go both? Okay, there's both of them. It's funny how people in a lot of churches will judge people for going to a bar or a cocktail, but will eat until they puke at a church-sponsored potluck. Moderation, people. And should Christians should be the ones setting the example for self-control and healthy living. So, I got a little video here that I'd like to show you guys just for a second. If we can cue it up. It'll take just 1 second.
Evangelism thing, sharing their faith, but they're not really using the product. And what some of the best advice I got was, you know, when I first started, you know, coming out here to plant a church, you know, the Vineyard would give you a church planting coach, somebody who's done it longer and planted a church. And so my coach was Sean McMasters, and he was my coach for 3 years. He's still a great friend. And one of the things he said, he was like, Joel, you got to make sure that you're drinking from the well you keep recommending. Because it just doesn't look right. Something's fishy, right? It's just like, I don't know about that guy. When, you know, the guy who, he's going door to door doing sales for like Apple, you know, selling MacBook Pros. And, you know, and finally somebody lets you in the house and doesn't just slam the door in your face. And you're like, all right, I'll give you 5 minutes to make your presentation. You come in, you know, with your duffel bag, you open it up and bust out your Dell computer, open it up to show them the slideshow of the MacBook Pro and all the things that it can do. But all right, well, I mean, presentation was pretty good, but ultimately it's not that convincing, because if the MacBook Pro is so great, why don't you see Apple, right? And then you say, well, because Apple doesn't pay me enough and these computers are ridiculously expensive. It's not that convincing, you know, like to say, hey, drink from this well, it's living water, it satisfies, you'll never thirst again, you know, you set up like neon signs with flashing lights, you know, and the arrows pointing there, and you like, you're bottling the water, you know, and putting labels on and all this kind of stuff, marking it out to the masses, and you're sitting there day in, day out, but then you got like this gallon jug of some other water, and you keep drinking from that. Why don't you drink from the well? You keep recommending this to me, but you're not drinking deeply. So if you're like sharing your faith, and you feel like in your heart of hearts, you're like, that's me. I'm kind of envious of the people that I'm trying to evangelize. That's not good. Like, that's me. I'm kind of jealous of the guy who's not even saved, of the person who's under law rather than the person who's under Christ. That's me. And then you think, okay, so here's the solution. I got to pull myself up a little higher by my bootstraps, and I got to just kind of grip my teeth a little tighter, and just by the sweat of my brow and by, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, today's going to be better, you know, and I'm going to really believe it this time, you know, and I'm just going to, more devotion, more passion, more, you know, January, how far are we away from January? New Year's resolutions, let's get some more of those. Let's start making a list now. It's March, you know, plan it, and that'll solve it. That'll fix it. No, it won't. No, the deal is, if you're trying to recommend water from the well, and you feel like it's not actually going very well because people aren't believing you, because it doesn't seem like you're actually kind of more jealous of them than they're jealous of you, the solution isn't to make a better sales pitch. The solution isn't to try to be more convincing. The solution is to start drinking from the well.
I think there's kind of this, let me go ahead and, I'll wait for him to pull it up. There's kind of this God-shaped heart and God-shaped hole in all of us. And we fill it with things other than God. And I think it might actually, this thing that's happening might actually be a spiritual problem. You know, it's hard to convince people to believe in our God when we don't live in the way that God would want us to live. And so we need to think about these things. I don't have the answers. I don't know what it is for you. For me, it was to fix what I had done. You know, stressful eating. You know, a lot of us fill it with, we'll go drinking. You know, we're quick to see all those sins, the drinking sins, the going and watching TV, just kind of just sitting there. We fill it with stuff like this. We see, it's all sedentary stuff, you know. And we say, we can't, you know, we overlook some of those other sins, and we think we don't have time to do stuff, but we do these other kind of things too, you know. So here's another video that I want to show y'all. I really like this one too, and it shows kind of some challenges or some what they did with their ministry and how they're trying to help stop what's going on.
Thank you. Bible and scriptures are literally filled with health advice. Jesus is God.
Church directors,
right?
I can just go through here. This guy died an early death. I mean, I'll go page after page. Just had major surgery on his heart. Passed away. Complications due to obesity. I mean, they're dying before they're dying.
This is what they did, I guess. It's almost like an info commercial I just gave you, right? like for P90X or Insanity or something like that. Well, you know, things are different now than they were back then. I mean, does anybody know the history of processed foods? Anybody know about all the processed foods they had back then? Yeah? Yeah? Back then? How much? Think they had a lot of processed food? Char? Yeah. So we got a little more things. Things are a lot different, so we gotta be careful. We gotta be careful. We can't just be ignorant of the stuff we're ingesting. Okay, that's one of our responsibilities, I believe. You know, and there's a lot. I mean, I just read something the other day. There's this caramel coloring. I don't know if y'all have heard of it. It's in a lot of our sodas. A lot. Now they're linking. They're saying that's a carcinogen. And this is Coke. These are the big ones. Sprite. I mean, not Sprite. Sprite's like the only one that doesn't have it. Like Pepsi is a big one. So Coke, Pepsi. You know, all those caramel colored sodas. You know, there's things that we're putting in our mouths now that we really need to think twice about. One of the things my student athletes, is to believe. You know, when I'm big on believing. You know, we got to believe that God can help us through this stuff. So what do we do? So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I don't know if we can have any programs like they were showing on there, you know. I would be willing to do any of that stuff. I need to do it. You know, I'm kind of preaching to myself here. I haven't, since Hattie got sick, I hadn't really hit the gym or done anything like that since she was sick. I tried to go a couple of times. Of course, I played a little volleyball, but I definitely haven't got my priority right now. So I'm preaching to myself here too. So I didn't say this. This is what I said. I mean, I said it. I read it. But I didn't really say it. Because somebody said it before me. That's Romans 12:1. So that's all I have. You know, if you feel that God is leading you one way or bringing you in, or you want to have a closer relationship with Him, then now's the time. You can come forward while we stand and sing. Are we going to stand and sing? Let's stand and sing. That's it.